Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Info Edge Q4 and Annual Results Conference Call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal for an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening and welcome to our fourth quarter and annual results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly and then through the annual final financial performance of the company. Then we will cover each business in more detail. In the end, we will be happy to take questions. For the quarter, for the standalone company, net sales in Q4 were rupees 204 crores versus rupees 173 crores in the same quarter last year, an increase of 18%. For Q4, operating EBITDA, excluding exceptional items, was at 62 crores versus 54 crores in Q4 of last year, an increase of 16% YOY. Operating EBITDA margin was at 30.5% versus 30.9% in Q4 of last year. Other income at 20.3 crores was lower than 26.9 crores last year. It's down by 25%, primarily due to lower corpus and lower interest rates. PAT, excluding any exceptional item, was at 57 crores, up 7.8%. Operating PAT was at 43.7 crores, up 18% year-on-year. And operating PAT margin was at 21.4% and remained flat over the same quarter last year. Deferred sales revenue has increased to 206 crores as of 31st March 2016 versus rupees 173 crores as of 31st December 2015, mainly led by increased collections in Naukri. The business sentiment is stable, and the Naukri JobSpeak Index as per April 2016 was at 1984 versus 1736 in April 2015. Moving on to the financial highlights of the year, of the full year, net sales for the 12-month period ended 31st March 2016 were at 723 crores versus 611 crores in the same period last year, an increase of 18%. For 12 months, operating EBITDA was at 157.9 crores, which is down 12% YOY, primarily due to additional investments in 99acres. Operating EBITDA margin was at 21.8% versus 29.3% last year. PAT, excluding exceptional items, was at 153 crores, down 7%. And operating PAT was at 111 crores, which was down by 10.8%. Operating PAT margin at 15.83% was lower than last year. Last year's number was 20.3%. Again, primarily on account of additional investments in 99acres. People cost YOY is up 27% on account of higher headcount. And also some wage inflation. Advertising expenses moved up 57% year-on-year, mainly due to higher ad spend in 99acres. Depreciation has increased 21%, primarily on account of purchase of assets like computers and servers, which is as per our plan to migrate our servers to India over a longer period of time. During March, a second interim dividend of rupees 2 per share was approved by the board. This is in addition to the first interim dividend declared in November 2015. Both put together, a total of 30% dividend has been paid out for FY15-16. This should be considered as the final total dividend for the year. During the year, we also transferred a number of our existing investments to our wholly owned subsidiaries. Accordingly, you will find other current assets were at rupees 141 crores as of 31st March 2016 versus rupees 50 crores as of 31st March 2015. As mentioned earlier, this helps us, this gives us more flexibility, and a period structuring can be done at a subsidiary level. Moving on to our consolidated financials, net sales for the year were 942 crores versus 733 crores last financial year, For the consolidated entity at the PAT level, there is a loss of rupees 251 crores versus a profit of rupees 24 crores last year. At the consolidated level, the main impact is because of losses in Zomato. The aggregate top line of the nine investee companies in FY15-16 grew to rupees 485 crores versus rupees 330 crores last year, an increase of 47%, while the aggregate EBITDA level loss was rupees 647 crores versus rupees 235 crores last year. Zomato nearly doubled its revenue. Its losses for FY15-16 were at rupees 574 crores, primarily due to investments in new markets, accelerated amortization, and other non-cash exception impairment charge of 104 crores. The May 2016 investor PPT has been uploaded, and it contains the revenue and EBITDA level numbers for both Applect and Zomato, being our subsidiaries as per Indian accounting standards, and for the rest of the investments, a single number for revenue and EBITDA. Moving on to business-wise performance. In Q4, recruitment top line grew 19.1% to rupees 149 crores. EBITDA margins in recruitment were for the recruitment business were at 54.6% versus 57% in Q4 of last year. In Naukri India, corporate sales EBITDA margin was at 62% versus 64% in Q4 of last year. For the full year, recruitment top line grew 19.4%. EBITDA margin was at 53.6% versus 53.7% last year. In Naukri in Q4, we added an average of 12,700 fresh CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to over 46 million CVs. The average number of CV modifications were at 195,000 per day. In Q4, we serviced 36,300 unique customers versus 32,800 unique customers in Q4 of last financial year. For the full year, the total number of customers serviced was 61,000 versus 57,000 in FY15. The referral hiring platform has now been made a paid product, and we launched a referral site for our corporate customers. We now have over 350 customers using it. And the career site manager offering, the cloud offering, has been sold to 1,600 corporates in FY15-16. Newer features added have resulted in our realization doubling per customer. Naukri India corporate sales grew by 21% year-on-year, 21% in the full year FY15-16. Our traffic share remained upwards of 72% in Q4. The Naukri Gulf business, however, has been impacted by a slowdown in the Gulf, primarily due to depressed oil prices. Moving on to the real estate vertical, in 99 acres, top line in Q4 grew 4.8% YOY to 32 crores. For the full year, top line grew 10.2% to 111 crores. In Q4, 99 acres made an EBITDA level loss of about 11.4 crores, down from 34.7 crores in Q1, 25.5 crores in Q2, and 19.6 crores in Q3. This reflects a decline in competitive activity. We, however, continue to invest strongly in both product and user experience. For the full year, EBITDA level loss for 99 acres was rupees 91 crores. Our traffic share in the real estate vertical has been stable for the last few months in the late 40s. The real estate market, however, continues to be sluggish, and demand for new homes, especially in markets like Noida, Gurgaon, Hyderabad, continue to be weak. Mumbai and Bangalore are slightly better, but everywhere, unfinished projects and inventory overhang continues. Losses in 99 acres are likely to moderate in FY16-17 over the previous year if the competitive situation remains similar. Moving on to the Jeevan Sathi business. In Jeevan Sathi, net sales grew 19.6% in FY15-16 and reached 47 crores versus 39 crores last year. EBITDA loss increased to 13 crores versus 3 crores in FY14-15. In Shiksha, FY15-16 net sales grew by 28.8% and reached 38-35 crores, and we lost about rupees 2 crores at the EBITDA level as compared to 4 crores last year. The other segment, which is basically where we report JS and Shiksha, we nearly broke even with a minor loss of 27 lakhs in Q4 of this year. Moving on to our strategic investments, during the financial year FY15-16, we invested a total of about 229 crores in our portfolio of investee companies, including 156 crores in Zomato in April 2015 and 25 crores in Affleck in May 2015. We also added three new companies to our portfolio, Mintbird, Rare Media, and Big Stylist. We put out the full-year top-line operating EBITDA numbers for our subsidiaries, Merit Nation and Zomato, and for the rest of the investee companies. This data is available on our website, infoedge.in. For Zomato, you know, the restaurant business we invested in, during FY15-16, top line was 185 crores, up from 96.7 crores. So there was a 91% increase year on year. The EBITDA level loss was 441 crores. Cash as of March 31st, 2016 in Zomato is nearly US$35 million. Q4 revenue in Zomato was nearly one-third of the annual revenue, while the cash burn in Q4 was only 15% of the annual burn. The company has booked a non-cash exceptional charge of 104 crores, primarily on account of Urban Spoon. As you're aware, Dipinder is doing an update call tomorrow, May 26th at 4 p.m. India time. That's all from us. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handset while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Gaurav Malhotra from Citigroup. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. One is on recruitment. You know, Hitesh, you mentioned that the business sentiment is stable. So we should expect another 18 to 20% year-on-year growth this year as well, or you foresee some sort of a slowdown or some sort of a base effect catching up? That's one. Secondly, on 99acres, you know, while the competitive intensity has come down and, you know, we realize that the markets are quite sluggish, but still, you know, a 5% year-on-year growth for a business which is, you know, sub 10-15% online penetration, you know, seems to be very low. Third is on Jeevansathi. The losses seem to have gone up quite meaningfully. So any sense on what's happening over there? That's all for now.
Okay. Now, in recruitment, you see our business is indexed to GDP growth in India. That's one, of course. And secondly, it's also indexed to growth in IT because about 40% of revenue comes from IT and IT-enabled services. So while, you know, on the GDP front, things look stable, so that should not really impact our business. But one can't be sure about what's going to happen to the IT industry. But we are confident that given our slew of new products and given the fact that we are sort of now at 72% share and our traffic is increasing, if all goes well, we should be able to sort of maintain our growth rate going forward. However, you know, it's very hard to predict. You know, one has only visibility for one or two quarters. Beyond that, you know, time will tell. As far as the 99acres business is concerned, you know, we've been focused for the last few months on, you know, getting our cost structures right. Our burn has sort of come down from 35 crores, like I said, in Q1 of last year to 11 crores in Q4. You know, and yes, growth has come down, but that's also because while the real estate market is sluggish and only 10-15% of the spends are online, but the situation is very different in different cities. The Delhi market for us is declining, while on the other hand, we are growing at maybe 30-40% in some other markets like Bombay and Pune. But we are confident that, you know, once we sort of restructure our costs a little bit, we should be able to grow our top line as well going forward at a much faster rate than Q4. Also, you know, Q4 last year was impacted a little bit by the fact that, you know, people expected service tax to go up. So some collections got preponed. Therefore, the base for Q4 for last year is a little higher than it would have been otherwise. Jeevansathi, you're right, for the full year we lost 13 crores, which is significantly more than what we lost in the previous year. But like I mentioned on the call, both Jeevansathi and Shiksha together almost broke even in Q4 of this year. So we lost just 27 lakhs in the others category. And I think Jeevansathi is, you know, in Q4, while Shiksha made a small profit and Jeevansathi made a small loss, we are confident that Jeevansathi can, you know, the losses next year will be sort of lower than what they were the previous year.
Just one question to Sanjeev on Zomato. You know, $35 million of cash, you know, for a company like Zomato. And if you could just give us some sense on, you know, what, you know, how many months or how much time period this cash can sort of be sustained, because, you know, things are quite tough in the market. So any sense on that front would be quite helpful.
So the news on Zomato is that burn is declining rather rapidly. So burn peaked at over $9 million a few months back, and the estimated burn for May is under $2 million. Okay, and if you know, and it's declining every month as revenue climbs, and I think most of the cost cuts are over. But there is some scope for some small cost cutting and some cost saving, but not a lot. The burn, future burn decline will come mostly from revenue growth. And Zomato seems to be adding thus far between $200,000 to $300,000 of revenue every month. So even if you assume that burn stays flat at a little under $2 million, you know, you're talking about 15 to 18 months of money. But you know, the company is targeting break-even long before that. The money runs out, and they expect the burn to decline every month, you know, or every quarter from now on, continue to decline. And therefore, I don't think Zomato is going to run out of cash. You know, it's going to start making cash before it runs out of cash.
Okay, but don't you think so? It's sort of cutting too close in terms of cash, or you think they're comfortable at things stand today?
They are comfortable, and you know, should they want to raise more cash, I think it'll be available. But I don't think they want to raise more cash right now. They want to just focus on break even, you know, and getting the fat out of the business and growing the revenue, and they're succeeding at that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Arya Sen from Jefferies. Please proceed.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Firstly, is there a revenue growth guidance for Zomato in FY17 that you can share?
So, look, you know, as per current run rate, you know, it's the current run rate is already 300 crores, okay? And if you're seeing growth on top of that, then, you know, there's some new products in the anvil, and let's see how they do, but certainly you should see growth on top of that. So, you know, it's going to be definitely above 300, 350 crores as per current indications. Above that. I don't know how much above that, but it'll be above that.
Okay, so about 100% growth at least is what you're indicating, right?
Hopefully. But look, things are not predictable, right? Because they are like monetizing new markets. They're monetizing new products. They're tweaking the ad, you know, the advertising product, even in India, to try and make it more efficient. And let's see what results come out of those.
Right. And I also wanted to clarify, I think you mentioned earlier that the loss in Zomato for the year was 574 crores. If I look at the PBT that is given in the segmental data, that shows about 492 crores. So what is the difference? Because I'm guessing they would not have paid taxes, right? So is that the 104 crores of exceptional charge on account of Urban Spoon?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, so 104 crore is an exceptional item, and that's a non-cash charge, and that's on account of, you know, accelerated amortization and the kind of, you know, impairment on the goodwill on the acquisition of Urban Spoon.
So that comes below the PBT line, because you talked about loss of 574 crores, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, it's an exceptional item, so that's why it's...
So it's below the PBT line, right? So that's how I should look at it.
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, there seems to have been a pickup in Jeevansathi growth in this quarter. I mean, I think you mentioned a number of 47 crore revenue for Jeevansathi. Is that right for the full year?
That's for the full year.
Okay. So then I can impute the number for the fourth quarter, because you haven't shared the numbers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's about 23% growth. So there has been a pickup. I mean, is that likely to continue? How would you see it going forward?
Yeah, so like, you know, we mentioned in previous calls, we're tweaking around with a few things in Jeevansathi, and we're getting, you know, a few hits here and there. So we are confident that we, you know, if all goes well and if things go as per plan, then we should be able to maintain our growth rate, if not up it, going forward.
Okay, okay, understood. And lastly, what were the investments in this quarter? Any new investments in the quarter?
No, I don't think that there was any investment.
No, we have no announcements to make on this one for this quarter.
Okay. And sorry, one additional question. I think you mentioned something about realizations doubling per customer. Is that for CSM alone?
No, that's for the cloud-based offering, CSM, which we had launched some time back.
Career site
manager offering. Yeah. So we launched, you know, more advanced variants of it, and that's why revenue realization per customer doubled.
Okay, so that is only referring to the CSM product within...
Only for the CSM product. It's a very small part of our revenue in Naukri.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, that's all I had. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have any questions, you may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Ankur Arora from CLSA. Please proceed.
Thanks. So on Naukri, the realization appears to be moving up nicely for the last several years. How much of this is just, you know, thing product mix, CSM, etc., versus better pricing?
Yeah, it's a mix of a few things. You know, we've launched some new products. We've of course upped our prices for certain products, and we've also sort of we're offering some services to our customers. So I don't know what the breakup is, but you know, it's a combination of these factors.
And I was assumed this is in the early stages, so this should continue going forward as well.
Well, a lot depends on the economy. A lot depends on whether companies are hiring more or less over last year. If companies are hiring more, it's easier for us to upgrade them, sell new products, more products to them. So, you know, it would depend on the economy to some extent.
Okay. And a few questions on 99acres. I noticed that the mobile traffic share for 99acres appears to have fallen down to magic brick levels in March 16, while the overall traffic share was sort of flatlining. I was wondering why that is the case.
Sorry, which numbers are you referring to for the mobile traffic share?
This is based on what you've released on the, you know, slide pack, slide 33, which has the mobile traffic share for 99acres.
Oh, that you're referring to the Comscore investor
presentation? Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I would, that's just the mobile site share. I don't think Comscore captures the app share. So that's
okay.
That's a small part of the total traffic.
So, because I think...
You have to look at both mobile site and the mobile app together.
Okay, so, I think 49 or 50% odd is the non-desktop traffic, according to your numbers in the previous slide.
But yeah, yeah. So, you know, more than 50% of our traffic in 99acres is on mobile. But that includes mobile apps.
I understand. But would this be representative of at least 25% of the share you get?
Just one second. Okay. I'll have to check and get back to you. Yeah, yeah, but you're right. It would be broadly in that range.
Okay.
See, these shares go up and down depending on what kind of marketing activity is happening at any point in time. So if a competitor decides to up their ad spend, for example, on app downloads or on mobile, or they up their mobile marketing, shares could change, over time.
Okay, because, you know, this was a quarter where you shrunk the promotions on 99acres, which is probably what helped you improve the cost structure. Is this something that you will have to keep spending on to maintain the traffic share? I mean, I'm talking about the non-desktop markets where you've been doing, I mean, desktop you're doing well, but the other parts of the markets.
Well, our plan is to spend on building the brand increasingly, and we believe that once the brand gets built, then, you know, all shares will sort of move up, whether it's desktop share or app or mobile share or app share. But like I said earlier in my presentation that, you know, a lot will depend on competitive activity. We have right now, we've cut down our costs because we're not seeing too much competitive activity, but if competition gets very aggressive in the marketplace, we'll be forced to respond.
Okay.
Brand spend is dependent, you know, we have more or less, you know, share of voice objectives as opposed to absolute spend objectives.
Okay. Just following on that competitive activity point you just made, competition clearly is lower now with, you know, housing sort of much lower, quicker, you know, sort of focused on the merger with Common Floor. How are you using this opportunity to consolidate leadership? You know, just one example is, you know, housing and Common Floor has probably opened up some product gaps in the past. So are you doing some product investments to stay ahead of the curve now that competitive activity is lower? You don't have to spend so much on perhaps marketing.
You see, we are normally focused on our consumers and our customers. So we try and solve their problems, and we will continue to focus on that. Yes, once in a while, you do get distracted because of competitive activity and because of competition, you're forced to respond. But by and large, you know, the objective of the business and the objective of the product team and the sort of the marketing team, et cetera, is to build our brand, build our product, solve consumer problems, solve customer problems, and we continue to invest aggressively behind that.
Okay, I understand. Thanks. Best of luck.
Thank you.
I'd like to make one more point on this. You know, so this whole talk of couple of our competition producing better products than us, you know, a lot of it was misplaced. You know, I'm not sure the consumer actually preferred that product or preferred those product features, which is why, you know, they never got the share that you know, that a good product should have got. So I think some of that was a bit of a legend.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind our participants that you may press star and one if you have any questions. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Malhotra from Citigroup. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Just a couple of follow-up questions. If you can just give us some sense of how much is mobile app and internet as a percentage of total traffic for Naukri, for 99acres, and for Zomato, if that is possible. Thank you.
I think Naukri is now around, the mobile piece traffic is around 60%. Just one second, I just, Yeah, so Naukri is around 55-56%, and 99acres is around, I guess, I don't have the exact number in front of me right now, but also around that much, 50-52%. Jeevansathi, the number is much higher, about 75% plus.
And for Zomato, you know, if you add up the app plus the mobile site traffic, it will be more than half in India. You know, but the exact number we don't have right now. But, you know, if you can dial in on the analyst call tomorrow, you know, dependent address it. But generally, mobile traffic on Zomato will vary from market to market because there are some markets that are more mobile markets. There are some markets where the mobile app has been downloaded a lot and some markets where it's not been downloaded so much. So it will vary market to market.
And, you know, when we say traffic, and at least for Naukri, 99acres, Jeevansathi, what we are referring to are sessions.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Chopra from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just the one question from my end. So I was just looking at the investee companies' financials and outside of Zomato and Merit Nation. So while the revenue over there grew by around 28% in the remainder of the companies, the losses more than doubled. So just wanted to know which are the one or two firms which would be weighing upon that kind of a loss and just the overall outlook on these set of companies.
Only Merit Nation.
So we don't consolidate any of the others. Canberra has a significant burn, but you know we are taking urgent steps to the company taking urgent steps to correct that, and we are kind of hoping that there will be good news on Canberra in the next 9 to 12 months, but we don't know yet. With superior sales execution, we believe that the burn should come down, but that's yet to be seen, right? But so the new management is working hard and working well at making that happen. Other than that, MyDala had very little burn. I think there are one or two small companies like Big Stylus. We haven't even given too much money, so they can't burn too much. Likewise for Vacation Labs. Policy Bazaar, we own only 9% now economic interest, and therefore it doesn't come a lot onto into our P&L. And Happily Unmarried, again, we've not given it so much money that it burns a lot.
Right. So primarily it would be Canberra, which should probably come down in terms of the burn next year.
Well, so let's see how the company executes. So, you know, like, you know, these things are somewhat unpredictable, given the nature of the business and the stage where it's at. Especially if a lot of the burn coming down depends on the revenue increases as opposed to cost cuts. But let's see.
Right, right. That's helpful. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shaleen Kumar from UBS. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, thanks. So I just want to understand management strategy on 99 acres. So if we see that, you know, as a result of the competitive intensity in FY16, we have increased our A&P spend, and in the Q4 we can see it is coming down, but our, you know, our revenues for real estate portal has also come down. So can we see them in such a way that they are kind of a correlated? And is there a change in management strategy that they are not going after expensive revenue? So and what could be going forward, you know?
No, there are two, three things here. One is, of course, you know, our spend is going down because, you know, let's say Google, for example. When we were advertising on Google earlier, and when there was a lot of competition, there were more and more companies bidding for the same keywords. And, you know, the price per click was sort of went through the roof. So one, of course, prices are moderating, you know, especially on online mediums, when we advertise, we have to pay a lot less per click than we were paying earlier. So with lesser spend, we are able to maintain our traffic, right? So
right.
That's one. Secondly, you know, Sanjeev mentioned share of voice. So in a market where there is not too much advertising, for less spend, you can actually get more traffic, right? Because you're not competing with others for your customers, not just in online, but even in offline India. And thirdly, you know, we're working very hard on the product. We're working very hard on our user experience. We're working very hard on improving our response, our conversion rates from the site. So it is possible for us to improve responses, increase our conversions, and generate more inquiries for our customers, even if the traffic does not go by that much, right? But we are confident that, you know, because we are investing so much in product and data quality and experience, you know, we will be able to, going forward, up our revenue and also up our traffic without spending too much on marketing.
Right. So Hitesh, just to continue this, so is it a right read that, you know, or can we increase our revenue by investing on marketing or not? There's no such correlation anymore, or very little, rather.
Well, there's no correlation in the short term. Of course, in the long term, if you're able to build a good brand, if your product is strong, such, and you know, through marketing you get additional customers and you're able to convert them into responses and you're able to retain them and you get good word of mouth, it helps. But if you don't have a good product, marketing doesn't work. And you know, even in the short term, it's very difficult to generate higher revenue through marketing because you know, we have subscriptions, we have clients who paid us for a year, so we have to then go back to them after a year for a subscription. So even if they see more responses, it's hard to monetize them in the short term.
Right. And in the recent analyst meet, you did mention about, you know, hiring feet on street as a verifiers, you know, who can, you know, improve the quality of the real estate listings. And we can also see there is an increase in employee personal expenses, which you mentioned that there have been some kind of hiring. So is it a part of that or what else is there?
Yeah. So we've sort of did a lot of hiring in 99 acres. In almost every area over the last 18-24 months, we've doubled our ops team, we've hired more people in product development, we put an analytics team in place. So you know, we're working very hard on the user experience piece. We want to create a platform which people can trust, where there is credible information, which is like a one-stop shop for all real estate. As we all know, real estate is a very opaque market, there's not much information available. But you know, today we get about 4 million people visiting our platform every month to sort of figure out what's happening in the real estate world. So we need to provide them with credible information. So like I said, you know, we are focused on our consumers, we are focused on our customers, we're not so much focused on competition. So we will continue to invest aggressively in whatever it takes to improve our user experience. Verification is a part of that. We now have 129,000 verified listings on our platform. In addition to this, we have a lot of owner listings which are genuine. We have information on over 10,000 projects which are under construction at this point in time. So these areas we will not compromise on, irrespective of whether there is a slowdown, whether there is competition or competition. But yes, marketing spend is something which could move up or down depending on competitive intensity. That is more tactical in nature at this point in time.
So apart from 99 acres, is there anything else which has contributed to higher personal expenses, employee expenses?
You know, employee expenses have gone up in every business, but of course, you know, in more in line with how revenues have grown in those businesses. But in 99 acres, of course, they grew much faster than revenue.
Right. Right. Okay. Great. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Surana from Mirae Assets. Please proceed.
Yeah, good evening. While there will be a separate call on Zomato tomorrow, I mean, some clarification on the numbers you had mentioned earlier. So for the full year FY16, what was the cash loss? I mean, did I hear it right? It's 440 crore? Was it 400 crore of cash burn?
So at EBITDA level, cash loss is around that amount, 440 crore. Yeah.
Otherwise, what has been the cash burn? I mean, if you remove the extraordinaries, non-cash charges.
Non-cash charges would be the ESOPs and the other accelerated amortization and all that. The CapEx would be there. I don't know what exactly the amount for, the CapEx would be, if you want to take the total cash.
Sure. No, so I was just trying to, on a 185 crore top line and 400 crore of sort of cash loss, so that means the cost structure is close to 580, 600 crores. So, even if top line were to increase to 300 or so, the cash burn could remain pretty high for the current and next year. So just wanted to get a sense, is there a reset in the cost structure or we are banking only on the top line to grow for the cash losses to come down?
Well, there's been substantial reduction in costs, over the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the company started to break even within this financial year. Okay? So once it breaks even, and the current burn, for example, May burn is estimated to under $2 million. And in all likelihood, the burn should head south, every quarter, right? And therefore, there has been a reset in costs. And apart from that, revenue has doubled since August.
Okay, so you also mentioned that there's a significant then reduction in the burn. So what are the major items in terms of the restructuring of costs? Is that closure of certain sort of locations, geographies, or what? If the burn is, or let me put it otherwise, if the burn is about 13, 14 crore a month, so if top line from here on were to increase by 150, 160 crore, by and large it would sort of break even. Is that the...
breaking even is a function of both cutting costs and increasing revenue. But most of the cost cuts have now happened. And the cost cuts largely were that in markets where the Zomato was not traffic leader, it pulled back investments. Right?
Okay.
So it is not traffic leader in 18 out of 23 markets where it is. And it is traffic leader in 18 out of 23 markets. So in the remaining markets, it pulled back investments.
Okay, so it's sort of...
Some of these were high-cost markets such as UK and US.
So there will be a lot of one-time kind of, several types of costs that also would have been involved in over there. So I think, one is that, you need to look at the latest run rate rather than looking at the entire year as a kind of a base to, if you want to kind of project for future. And then also you need to normalize, because of the one-time charges that might have gone into it, right? Indian accounting standards are very different on such severance and all that than what the US accounting standards are. We have taken far more conservative view on this.
Yeah, and just the latest also, there is significant, if you look at fourth quarter cash loss of say 60 crores and a run rate of 45 crore, 12, 13 crore a month. So there's a significant change for a few months. So I wanted to understand that
like I was telling you, for the month of May, the revenue run rate is close to 300 crores, a little under 300 crores.
Okay.
And the burn is a little under $2 million.
That means that there is a significant reset in the cost. So these are sustainable numbers, compared to last year.
Yes, they are sustainable. However, there are some non-recurring costs that occur. Now and then, for example, if you let go of some people in an overseas market, there may be severance pay in that month.
Okay, which is not yet sort of paid as yet. Okay.
No. It's mostly behind Zomato.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's almost all behind Zomato, but just in case, there could be in coming months one or two surprises. But those are not large surprises. So, I think this under $2 million burn has headed, it's coming after several months and it is likely to head further south in the coming months.
And you feel that large part of that restructuring is sort of done now. It's wherever
it is, in fact, all done.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nandish Dalal from IIFL. Please proceed.
Hey, thanks for taking my question. I have a question on Merit Nation. Though the revenue traction seems to have improved, but it's still low at around 30%, and the losses have doubled on a YY basis. Can you just give some traction as in what is going in Merit Nation?
So Merit Nation, they're trying a new, they're experimenting with a new sales channel, and that seems to be delivering promising early results. They're looking at upping the renewal rate through better engagement of current customers. They've launched live classes, which have increased the ARPU. So some of these experiments we are hoping will, good results in the coming few months.
So Sanjeev, can we expect the revenue growth to go back to somewhere around 70, 80, 100% kind of number?
Hard to say right now, but that kind of number looks unlikely for now.
And the burn rate going into 70?
The efforts are to cut the burn rate. More than to up the revenue by 100% growth.
Got it. And in terms of your other category, Jeevan Sathi and Shiksha, it seems to the revenue growth has significantly improved this quarter. It looks primarily from Shiksha. Any updates on what? And you also mentioned that the losses have come down. So is it that the product is now ready and off to go in the market?
No, like I said, Shiksha had a good quarter. We, sort of made a small profit in Shiksha in Q4. And we were able to cut down losses in Jeevan Sathi also substantially. But both these businesses still have a long way to go. Yeah. They still have to work very hard on product. They're getting better at it with every passing month. But they still have a long way to go before they become big businesses.
Got it. And just one last bookkeeping question for Chintan. Zomato seems to have been consolidated overall, but though you don't own 50% of the company. So going forward also, will this continue, and what exactly is the reason of consolidating?
So currently, on the equity shares basis, we own 56%. It's only on fully diluted basis that we are 47%. The accounting standards and in the Institute of Chartered Accountants guidelines provide that, we need to look at it at the equity holdings rather than on a fully diluted basis. So going by that, we have consolidated, and I think that same thing remains for the next year as well. So we'll kind of, continue to, consolidate if we continue to hold more than 50% of equity. And if something changes from the accounting standard perspective, we'll, in some ways, even if we may not consolidate, we'll continue to provide, whatever information that, that might be required.
So basically, to just add to that, a lot of our investment in Zomato is in the form of common stock, whereas the other investors do not have common stock. They have pref stock, and which is optionally convertible. And therefore, in terms of common stock or ordinary shares, we are in majority. But when everybody converts, we will not be in majority.
Understood. But Chintan, will this change if Ind AS is adopted next year?
I don't think so that, this guidelines is changing. But if it is changing, we can get back to you on this.
Oh, sure. Thanks and have a great year, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Sharma from HSBC. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions from my side. Hitesh, overall e-commerce space is seeing some kind of slowdown. Will that be positive for you that the employee cost increase and hiring this year could be lesser than FY16?
Yeah. So it's a, if there is a slowdown in the internet space, it may be a positive for us because, it helps us attract good talent, retain them, do good work. But if there is a slowdown in the economy as a whole, we'll be very badly impacted because, we are a recruitment business. So the best situation for us is that the rest of the economy does well and there is a slowdown in the internet.
But having said that, we wish everyone well and we hope all companies succeed, including all e-commerce companies.
So we could see instead of a 27% increase, could we see, with the current, trends to, continue for some more time, could we see some just 10-12 kind of percent increase in employee cost, or no, it will be 20% in your view or upwards of that?
Well, it'll be different for different businesses within InfoEdge. We are not planning to add a lot of headcount or sort of in 99 acres, for example. So cost there should moderate a little. But in other businesses which are growing and doing well, like Jeevan Sathi and Shiksha, cost may still grow at 18-25% per annum. In Naukri, in our traditional sort of regular business, we don't expect massive increases. A massive increase in cost, but we're also investing a little bit behind the new products and developing new technologies and building new platforms, so we don't want to cut down on that investment. So Naukri also may still see 15 to 18, maybe 20% jump in manpower cost even this year.
Okay, and you also mentioned earlier in the call that you're working on the cost structure at 99 acres. So I got some of the inputs in terms of spend in Google coming down because bidding for AdWords is lower. But what else, other than tactical advertising, which is sometimes a function of competition, what else is a permanent reset in cost structure which you are seeing?
No, most of it is advertising because, our ad spend went up dramatically last year. So, we were at 40 crore per year levels. That went to 75 crores in 99 acres. So we want to do a reset on that one. Well, that's one. But of course, like I said, a lot depends on competition there. We also upped our manpower cost significantly in 99 acres. I think manpower costs will still go up this year compared to over last year. But of course, the increase will be very moderate. And, we okay. plan to sort of, and of course, we expect revenue growth rates next year to be higher than, what we achieved this year. So this year was a bad year in terms of revenue growth. Last year, 15-16 was a bad year. We were able to grow revenue only by 10%. But we are hoping that next year will be better because we expect the real estate market to start recovering in parts at least.
Okay, that's helpful. And one last question on Zomato. So the burn has come down to $2 million monthly.
We are expecting under $2 million in May.
In May. So, Sanjeev, I'm just trying to understand it from a cost structure perspective. What has changed in the last 6 months? Which elements, some color, some broad color will be helpful?
I've answered this just 10 minutes ago. Basically, in markets where they were not traffic leaders, they pulled back. Okay? And they rationalized overall costs in that fashion.
And these were expensive markets like you mentioned earlier.
US and UK
and stuff. US.
Okay. So it's broadly that.
Well, that's how costs came down, but revenue is going up because of greater sales efforts in markets and the traffic leaders.
And what roughly the penetration will be, percentage of the total base?
Sorry, when you mean penetration, what is that?
The paid clients out of the total listings.
So it's different for different markets. And we define each city as a market. So so let's say in a city like Delhi, it will be in the teens. But overall, globally, in the markets where the traffic leaders, it's under 5%.
Okay. And lastly, LinkedIn has come out with a separate app on the job site. Does that worry you?
Well, I think that app is now quite old. So, maybe more than 2 years old. So we worry about LinkedIn. I mean, I've said that on the call many times. We see LinkedIn as competition, and therefore we're continuously working on improving our platform, adding more features, functionalities, offering a better experience to both our customers and our consumers. So we worry the job app has been around for a long time. So
They're pushing it over the last quarter much more in terms of marketing efforts than earlier. So
we haven't witnessed any change.
It's not impacted our traffic. It's not impacted our sort of user base at all. That is the case.
And lastly, if I could chip in on the 99 acres, one big contest is between online and print. And that's somewhat related to, the branded capital stuff. How can you structurally address that?
So, you know, if you speak to our customers today, you know, the builders out there, the brokers were never advertising. I mean, they're not a part of brand capital. They're mostly small advertisers. They advertise in the classified sections of newspapers. A lot of our revenue comes from brokers and channel partners. It's only the very large developers who advertise in print publications, and many of them have treaties and other deals with newspapers. But, you know, these are older deals, and if you today were to do a survey with them, and many of them will tell you that, you know, they get almost half the response from online. And online, of course, includes sites like Google and Facebook. So, you know, we believe that, you know, this migration from offline to online is only going to continue. It's, in fact, only going to accelerate going forward, because online sort of, if you do a poll of people who are buying property or looking to buy property, you will realize that almost everybody is searching online. It's only a matter of time before revenue follows.
Okay, thank you very much. It's very helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Kshatriya from Edelweiss. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, Sandeep from Edelweiss. Sanjeev, I have one question from you on 99 acres and another one on Zomato. So first of all, coming to 99 acres, I understand that the real estate market is pretty weak, but do you think that when the real estate market again starts looking, the competition activity can go up significantly and again we start incurring the kind of expenses we have done in advertising earlier and which may lead to again significant amount of losses? That is point number one. Point number two on Zomato, we consistently see some kind of threats from Google's artificial intelligence code changes which happens, and if you see in world number one player on search side has also mentioned in their MD&A that they have suffered because of Google changing their codes. So just wanted to know that do you see some kind of threat coming to Zomato also because of some changes made at Google's end? Probably today Zomato is not that big or is not in the radar of Google. But can that kind of risk happen? And if that happens, then whether our current cost structure will remain same or is it quite robust to change between the line items?
Let me answer the one on 99 acres. You know, yes, it is possible that if, you know, the market for, if there's a bounce back in the real estate market, you know, you may have more sort of competition entering the market. But that's actually a good situation to be in. Because as long as we are the leader in that market, you know, and if we have 50% share or 55% share, and if ad spend were to sort of double or triple, our share will come to us in line with our traffic share. Yes, there will always be new competition. There will always be new competitors. Even today, Naukri has some 20 new competitors out there who are trying to sort of get a share of the wallet. But, you know, we've always seen in the internet space very hard to displace an incumbent who's well-entrenched and who's sort of a leader. So the ones who get impacted actually are the number two and number three and number four players, if that happens.
Yeah, coming to Zomato, you know, we have a lot of confidence and faith in the Zomato management team. In our opinion, it is one of the best, management teams in India and the internet, and not just in India, even in all the markets where they are, which makes it one of the best teams globally. And particularly the product capabilities, the engineering capabilities, the UI capabilities. And they've demonstrated in the past, which is why Zomato, with very little marketing spend in the earlier part of its evolution, became virtually a cult brand in India. And it became a cult brand without advertising. It became a cult brand simply on product usage and consumer loyalty. So while, you know, it's good to worry, and we must always worry, and certainly, you know, if a good company like Google makes a move, we must worry. But having said that, look, a lot of it is about brand, focus, what's the homepage about, and so on. And, you know, can Zomato, because it's a vertical and a focused vertical, can it service the need of both the restaurant and the restaurant visitor better than something that, you know, a site that is a general search? We believe so. And we believe that the Zomato team is more than capable of handling this. So do we worry? Yes, we worry. You know, it's good to worry. I mean, we worry about LinkedIn, which is why Naukri innovates, one reason, and that's always good.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rumit Dukkar from Religare Capital Market. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. I had three questions. Firstly, on 99 acres, Hitesh, could you talk about the market share of 99 acres across the key markets, Delhi, West, and South? Secondly, you mentioned that Delhi saw a decline in revenues. So what drove that? Is it loss of market share to players like Facebook, Google, or is it just volume or pricing? So some color on that will be helpful. Third question is to Sanjeev on capital allocation. How do you think about capital allocation in FY17? You have a large cash balance, so is it going to be more new investments or is it just going to be scaling up the current investments and reducing the burn rate? That's it from my side. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, 99 acres, our tracking share has been averaging around 44, 45, 46% for the last few months. We believe we are clear leaders now in Delhi and Mumbai. We don't think we are a clear leader in the South. Maybe in Chennai we are, but the South market share, traffic share, we believe is in the 30s, not in the 40s as yet. But in Delhi and in the North and West, we think we are clear leaders with more than maybe 45, 46, 47% share, maybe 50% share, and maybe even more than 50% revenue share. In the decline in Delhi, so Delhi has been the most impacted by the slowdown in real estate. So there's massive amount of, the number of incomplete projects. You just have to visit Noida and Gurgaon to see the number of projects which are lying sort of unfinished. There's an inventory overhang. New project launches have crashed. Sales of new homes are down to an all-time low. Maybe transactions are down 50, 70, 80% from their peak. Right, many of the brokers in the business have shut down. Many builders have disappeared. Actually, they've left the country. They're not, you know, they're sort of absconding. So the state of affairs in Delhi, NCR, in the real estate market is really bad. It's not so bad in Bombay, which is why our Bombay business grew by close to 35-40%. It's not so bad in Bangalore, where we grew by over 20% last year. But Delhi was very badly impacted. But, you know, hopefully the worst is over even in a place like Delhi NCR, and we expect a small, things to sort of slowly start returning to normal. So hopefully next year will be better, even in Delhi NCR. So it's not a loss of share, it's just that the market is really, really bad.
Okay, got it.
Coming to capital allocation, it's more bottom-up than top-down, so long as we are not going insane in terms of amount of capital that we will, invest. And it will, we look at both new companies and also supporting those of our company, current companies that need support and they have a credible, path forward. And each of them will be evaluated on an individual basis, case-by-case basis. In general, we are conservative and we always have been. And therefore, we won't go crazy making investments. But yes, we will support those of our current companies which need money and we believe that there's a good way forward.
Is there a number in terms of how much capital will you allocate towards your investee?
No, there is no such number. It is, like I said, more bottom-up, case-by-case basis, and if it adds up to too much, we will figure out ways of other ways of doing it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashwin Mehta from Nomura. Please proceed.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I had one question in terms of the IT and ITES space, which gives you a lot of revenue. Now, IT companies have been indicating that hiring next year is likely to be lower, plus automation seems to be helping them to free up resources. So one, how does that impact your growth outlook? And secondly, most of these companies are talking about anti-pyramid, so more experienced people versus the earlier bulk hiring. And given our skew towards, the 2 to 10 year experience bracket, do you think there's a threat from LinkedIn or due to this phenomena to your growth expectations there?
So yeah, we worried about IT. We've also been reading newspaper reports, but fortunately for us, at least last year, while our overall business grew by about 20% in Naukri, the IT markets grew at actually 25%, and markets like Bangalore and Hyderabad, for example, for us. Now the truth is that IT companies hire a lot of people, and even if they cut down their hiring by 10, 15, 20%, they will still be hiring a lot of people. And only 20, 25% or 30% maybe in some cases of the hiring in most of these companies is from Naukri.
So there's substantial scope for us to still sort of become, you know, the to sort of help them hire more people through us. And, you know, we all know that we are an efficient way of hiring people. So if they want to cut costs, they will hopefully cut down cost elsewhere and use us more to hire more people, which is why, you know, some of our big wins actually last year came from large IT customers. As far as, you know, hiring senior people or more experienced people is concerned, actually that is also something which is a positive in our favor because, you know, we don't really play a role in campus hiring. Campus hiring is something which Naukri does not really play in. And when IT companies hire a lot of people, a lot of the hiring is actually from campus. So if they do more lateral hiring, that actually works in our favor. Unless, of course, they start hiring, they start headhunting. Headhunting is something which, you know, is not what Naukri is used for, but as much as LinkedIn is used for, maybe. But headhunting is always a small number for any company. I don't think most companies, most companies actually always end up hiring active job seekers because, you know, otherwise their costs just go through the roof. So as long as the shift is from pressure hiring or campus hiring to lateral hiring, it benefits us.
Okay, fair enough. And just one question in terms of Zomato. So where is the monetization growing for Zomato? Is it discovery largely or food ordering is also materially picking up? And secondly, from a markets perspective, how would the growth have been between India, Middle East versus the rest of the world?
Look, obviously, online ordering is growing faster because the base is smaller. But online ordering is only there in three markets, India, UAE, and Philippines, right? And the bulk of the business will be in India and UAE, okay? Now, projections are hard to make, but we expect maybe 15 to 20% of the total revenue for this financial year will come from online ordering. And the rest will come from the ad sales model, which is discovery. Table reservations is there, but it's going to be small for now. As far as regions are concerned, there is revenue coming in now from many, many markets, but India and UAE still form the bulk. They would have been about, I would say, about 70% last financial year. They are growing, but the smaller markets obviously on small basis grow faster. And as more and more kick in, this will head down a bit. But, you know, it's hard to predict exactly where it will end up. Let's see how various markets do. It all depends on sales execution.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miten Latia from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please proceed.
Good evening. Just to talk about the matrimony.
Mr. Latia, can you speak up a bit loud? Your voice is not audible.
The matrimony size, market size seems to be two times the real estate market size. And this slowdown in real estate, while the overall market is tough, as it has explained, is quite puzzling because so early on it should be more about share gain and the traffic seems to be coming online for real estate searches. So this whole ability to monetize, is there a big hurdle in that path which is sort of causing the market to be constrained, or how does one explain the sort of small market size number versus all other parameters?
You know, actually the real estate, online real estate market is growing. You know, last year was an aberration. Till last year, I think we were all growing at 30-40% per annum, or maybe even more. We had been growing at 30-40% per annum for several years. I think last year was an aberration because the slowdown came suddenly and hit everybody really hard. And even sites like Google, etc., I believe, and were impacted. And of course, to add to that was a severe competition, you know, which we faced in the first half of the year, which sort of resulted in several people doing several things which they would not have done otherwise. So my guess is that this market will slowly start bouncing back. Builders and brokers are slowly realizing that, you know, they need to spend more money online. And I don't think the market for online real estate is half the size of matrimony. Matrimony maybe is a 475 crore market today, and the online portals together make about 300 crores. But, you know, even sites like Google and Facebook get a fair amount of the spend. So hopefully, yes, you're right that, you know, all of us need to do a better job on product. All of us need to do a better job on user experience. We also need to move up our pricing a little bit, which was impacted last year.
And you know, once these things sort of fall in place, then I think it's only a matter of time before online real estate portals start growing at a faster rate.
So, Saurabh, if I understood correctly, one was the whole growth aberration and the other thing was irrational competition. So you were suggesting that some of the competitors actually underpriced products that they were selling to builders. Is that also what would have resulted in shrinking of market size?
Yes, at least in some markets, if not everywhere. So club to that, is the customers were also very badly impacted last year. Like I said, many of the many people in the business actually shut down shop. Many builders were very, very badly impacted. They were short of cash. You know, so the industry also went through a tough patch last year. And, you know, in some markets that continues to be the case. So I think real estate spending as a whole, real estate spending was impacted a lot last year. So, you know, when something like this suddenly happens, overnight it's very hard for people to sort of shift their media expenses and say, listen, okay, we'll start sort of spending on online. But I think over a period of time, that is bound to happen.
It's this whole pricing to the developer community, are you seeing some sense prevailing there or is it not still the way it should be?
You know, the problem in real estate is that many of the developers out there have projects in markets where they are not saleable, where there is no demand. There are projects at all kinds of prices at which they are not selling. So often what tends to happen is that, you know, we may take on a customer and we may try and sort of sell his stuff on our platform, but we are not able to generate leads, not because there is no traffic on the platform, but because, you know, the product does not sell at that price. So some of these things also have to be worked out by developers and by builders for them to benefit from the traffic and from the exposure and from the visibility they get on 99acres and on other online platforms. So I think, you know, this whole industry is going through some sort of a churn. You know, it's getting, prices have to fall and that's beginning to happen. You know, spend has to move online. You know, new projects have to get launched at lower prices. So, and it's happening faster in certain markets. It's happening at a slower rate in other markets. But once this sort of churn is complete, then you know, you can expect the sector to bounce back a lot more strongly.
Great. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhinav Jain from 130 Capital. Please proceed.
Hello. Today public is moving towards social media for advertisement. Say example, Facebook and LinkedIn. Though the market share is of such category is very low, but how you see it going forward? And my second question is, there is significant change in other current asset and other non-current asset in standalone balance sheet. Can you throw some color on it? Hello.
Yeah. So social media is, you know, it gets a share of the spend. You know, when marketers spend, what they normally do is they sort of measure the ROI from different channels they advertise on, and they go by the ROI they get. So Google still continues to be the medium of choice for many sort of marketers. People continue to spend on print publications. People continue to spend on television advertising. So you know, the social media is just one other sort of medium on which companies are spending. And if you look at our company, for example, when we spend, we spend about maybe 100 crores last, more than 100 crores last year on marketing, we spend maybe less than 5% of that on social media. And that may be the case for many companies. So it's a new medium, it's an interesting medium, it's an upcoming medium. For certain kinds of brands and certain kinds of product, it works very well, especially when you want to target on the basis of profile, because these sites have a lot of profile data. But sites like Google continue to work very well for all search related advertising, because the intent there is much more clearer than it is on social media. So both will continue to, you know, in my view, grow over a period of time, and they will probably take share away from offline media.
Okay.
On the second question about non-current assets, current assets. So non-current assets are mainly this bank FD and mutual fund investments that we have. So it's more the treasury that we have. Current assets, so what has happened is that the investments that we had, and as we are aware that last quarter and some of them in the earlier quarter, we kind of moved some of our investments in our portfolio companies to a wholly owned subsidiary company. So that has resulted into that now the wholly owned subsidiary investment is being shown as a current asset, and the, you know, the rest is, you know, is the rest is being shown. So it has moved from investment basically. So it was 50 crore, and I think it has moved to 141 crore. You know. So that's what has happened.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management of Info Edge for closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah, thank you everyone for being on the call and have a great evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Info Edge India Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.